Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5. The Game. Again, I'm not sitting here saying we're live at Third and Home where the Sounds are getting set to take on the Indianapolis Indians tonight. I will be at the game. I'm excited about the game.
It's going to be a blast.
Should be a lot of fun.
I hope the weather holds out for you tonight.
Beautiful weather today. Hopefully, knock on wood. The fake news phone said it was going to rain every day this week, and it has been beautiful every day this week.
Apparently, it rained last night.
It did. Well, it monsooned while we were, like, wrapping up the show.
I didn't even notice.
That was that.
I couldn't have even been bothered.
It's a Fireball Hot Take Friday. I am reading through the text line, and our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And I just see people talking about the, you know, we talk about the vaccine, and it really is truly about a 50-50. I'm not sitting here telling you that the vaccine is perfect or not. I have no idea. That's not my job. I'm a talk show host. I got it. I'm cool with it. But there is a competitive advantage in the NFL if your team gets more vaccines than everybody else. And I think that's just a fact. Now, whether or not you hate the vaccine, that's on you. But again, there is a competitive advantage, and teams are preaching that because I guess the NFL is worried about low vaccination rates among players in the league. With that, it's time for Headlines with Caroline.
We're spanning the sports world. It's Headlines with Caroline on Stillman & Company, right here on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Little update from Vandy. The door shut out Eastern Carolina 2-0.
Yes,
Kumar
did.
Rocker. Oh, my goodness. 11 strikeouts was in the game for seven innings. Jack Leiter will be on the mound tomorrow. I think Vandy gets it done tomorrow. I mean, between Rocker and Leiter, those two are just absolutely lights out.
I've been a little surprised. Leiter, you know, has not been the... I mean, I thought Leiter earlier in the year was just freaking nails.
Phenomenal.
I think Vanderbilt's going to win. I think Vanderbilt is set up perfectly for a super regional, or if they make it to the College World Series final, I think they're set up perfectly because they'll just be able to throw out there, you know, the best arms to start two of the three games. They have two of the best starting pitchers in the country. I thought there were two really encouraging signs in this game. First off, I thought Rocker was excellent. And I think you got East Carolina's best shot and Vanderbilt punched back, which I think is good. You know what I mean? That was a great pitching performance by East Carolina. The second thing is Vanderbilt was up 1-0 going to the bottom of the eighth. And there were, well, two parts of this. First off, in the top of the eighth, when Rocker got into trouble, they brought in Nick Maldonado, and even though he was a little wild early, he got that guy to pop out on a 3-0 pitch, and Vanderbilt manufactured a run. Enrique Bradfield Jr., he is awesome. And he gets on base, steals second, and the Doors get him on, get him over, get him in, close play at the plate, Vanderbilt scores to get that big insurance run to go up 2-0. That's the kind of small ball you know you get from Tim Corbin, and I think that those are good signs for Vanderbilt. You know, that this is going to be a tough series. They're going to have to scrap out. They scrapped really well today. I think it's a good sign for Vandy.
Tomorrow, Vols, LSU, 6 o'clock Central in Knoxville. And I apologize to any Vol fans that listen to the show because y'all are not going to like me this weekend. And with that.
Do you think LSU is going to win?
The series, no. This is my prediction for how the Tennessee-LSU series will go. I think Tennessee takes game one. I think LSU takes game two. And Tennessee secures the series on Monday night.
So Monday night, we will have a showdown game. Let me say this. That would be great because there will be excitement. There will be eyeballs. If Vanderbilt is going to the College World Series and Tennessee is playing a winner-take-all game against LSU, I don't love five-hour baseball games. And unfortunately, college baseball is they make everything as long as possible. But I will watch that because, I mean, that's all the marbles are on the table there in a winner-take-all game between a great program in LSU and a good team in Tennessee, and you already got Vanderbilt in there. I think it'd be good for the state, and it'd be good especially for this area as far as baseball fans are concerned. If it's interesting and fun. And I am expecting an interesting, fun series from UT. What's next?
Well, somebody asked me, how many SEC baseball teams do you think are going to Omaha? And I said probably four.
Arkansas,
Vanderbilt, Vandy.
Tennessee,
South Carolina.
Well, at least one's going because Vanderbilt or the LSU.
You can't have more than five because Tennessee and LSU play. And
right.
There's six in the Super Regionals.
Right. But so you're at least going to have one. because Tennessee and LSU.
Well, yeah.
So, no, I feel that's probably about right. What's next?
So, the Predators, Adam Vingan said today that the Predators will have the 18th pick in the NHL draft. So, taking off my NHL hat and putting my NFL cap on, 18th pick in the NFL draft was Jalen Phillips, a guy who we were really high on.
Sure.
So, just with that pick, that's a decent pick. That is a good pick. You're not in the top five. You may not get those elite talent coming into the draft. But the Predators have the possibility to get a really, really good draft pick here. And that's not going to be anyone that contributes to the team immediately. They have a lot of years, you know, growing with the program.
They have a couple. If you're a good player, you'll be in the league in a couple of years.
A couple of years. But, like, they're not going to come in and make an immediate impact. What do you think, ideally, Predators do here?
I pulled up 2014, right?
Okay.
You said the 18th pick in the draft.
Yes.
Well, Minnesota took Alex Tuch, who's a good player.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, he's a fine player in the league. And I look around at that draft. So, in that draft, the Predators, and I'm just using 2014 as an example, with the 18th pick, the Predators would not be able to get Aaron Ekblad or Leon Draisaitl, both all-stars. Dylan Larkin was an all-star. And there's a bunch of guys like Nick Ritchie and Nikolai Ehlers, mm-hmm, and William Nylander, who are all good players that are not all-stars, but good players were in this draft you wouldn't be able to get. But after the 18th pick, Nick Schmaltz in Chicago, who I thought was a nice player for a while, Robbie Fabry was a player that was picked, Kapanen, who was with the Penguins, I think, you know, he was in there. David Pastrnak was 25th in that draft.
Cool.
There is a good player in that draft that the Predators will be able to draft. That's just pulling up 2014. And again, this is your news update, so it's not like I prepared for this segment. Let's pull up 2016, okay? The NHL entry draft in 2016 in the first round, if the Predators are picking 18, who's out there that they can select? Past the 18th pick, not a lot of names to know. So maybe it's a little different year to year. I've been told this year's draft, not a great draft as far as the league is concerned. I couldn't tell you one way or another because I don't scout.
I don't follow USA Hockey.
But, I mean, I feel pretty good that the Predators need to get a good player in this year's
draft. But you're thinking of pick 18. That's a solid pick.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem with the Predators in the first round. And, again, I don't want to turn every hockey conversation into why I don't think the Predators are getting enough out of what they've been given by any stretch. But if you look at their first round picks right now, and let's use it to focus in on this playoff series, okay? They have a goalie who's in Russia, who they say is going to be good, but again, he's in Russia, so he's not there. Filip Tomasino, who they would not play. Elli Tolvanen, who they would not play. Dante Fabbro, who they would not play.
They played Tolvanen just on a very short leash.
Kevin Fiala, who they've traded. You see what I'm saying? Seth Jones, who they traded for Ryan Johansson and who they don't even want anymore. I mean, you see what I'm saying? Like, they're not getting enough out of these first-round picks. They're not drafting well enough. And when you don't draft well enough and you don't develop well enough, whichever one it is, and you trade away first-round draft picks and you don't get anything out of the first-round picks you trade, you are at a disadvantage. And that's where the Predators find themselves. So you're asking me, do I think the Predators can get a good player with the 18th pick? I do think they can get a good player with the 18th pick.
I know they can.
But would they?
Will
they've
they?
Missed on too many
Will
picks
they?
Here recently. And they don't care. I mean, they can tell me all they want that they believe in Dante Fabbro, but if they're not going to put him out there a year or 2 years after they put him out there three games or so removed from college. Nice save.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
I hope everybody sees that on the stream. I hope they see that on the stream, what just happened.
Jared just saved my life.
Just a little bit. So, again, if they're not going to play these first-round picks and they're not going to pick well enough, and they're not, then why should I care? Why?
Now, like, I'm nervous.
Why should I care? Yeah, let's just move that away from over here.
Yeah.
But, like, why should I care? Why am I? Yeah, I mean, this is in all seriousness. Like, you're telling me, you know, the 18th pick, they can get a good pick, a good player, and I'm like, they could have had a good player in 2014. They didn't. They could have had a good player in 2015. They
but
traded that pick
away. But I think that's
exactly
why you should care. Because if you're looking at the future of this franchise, it starts now. It starts at draft picks now.
See, that's where we disagree. Because you know what I think is required.
I know.
You know what I think.
I know.
And I'm not changing my mind. I've said this. They can do whatever they want. Did you watch a game last night? The Colorado.
The Colorado
Vegas game last night.
Bits and pieces.
You think the Predators are anywhere close to those two teams?
No.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, no.
I just honestly, like, I get mad talking about it now because I feel like I'm the only person that looks at this objectively and says that what they're doing, the operation's not good enough. It's not good enough. It's not good enough. And I'm getting worked up, so I'm just going to stop.
So speaking of the Vegas-Colorado game last night. Nathan,
electric.
Electric game. Incredible game. If that was the Stanley Cup final, I would be totally satisfied. However, if anyone is interested in journalism, then last night, Nathan MacKinnon's press conference was exactly what you should not do. That was the perfect, you know, masterclass and the absolute last thing that you should ask.
What happened? Because I haven't heard this.
Well, listen in.
Nate, you know, I know you're a gamer and all this, and, you know, I'm just thinking maybe out loud as far as in your shoes right now. It's like, all right, we've done all the thinking we can do. We've done all the game planning we can do. Maybe, you know, just we'll just go in next year and just not think it anymore and just win this thing when we don't think so much. Am I on the right path at all with this? Like, maybe you just guys think a little too much?
No.
Last one here for Nathan. Mark Spector, Sportsnet.
What is he asking?
Who asked the question?
I'm not sure who asked the question.
Because the guy sounded like he was drunk.
That's what I thought. He sounded just completely off his rocker.
He sounded, well, I'll say this in a couple instances. One, I need to know who asked the question.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I need to know, like, the news outlet that, you know, ask that question.
Can do some research.
The second thing is, I need to know, you know, there are some people around the country that cover sports teams mm-hmm. that have intellectual disabilities,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not sure that that's what that was, but I've been there, you know, I haven't been the guy in radio who has mocked a question that's been asked by somebody with an intellectual disability, but I have seen it happen. And
you never want to be that person.
I don't like people who mock people with intellectual disabilities, so I don't want to jump on that train before I know. But very odd exchange on the surface.
Yes, on the surface, from what we know, would never want to hurt anyone's feelings. However, I just thought it was funny. I thought it was an odd exchange, very funny exchange, and his response was no. Like I don't even know what I would say to that.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder who asked that question.
I can do some research for you.
And so, but that was odd. I don't know who's, I mean, like, normally don't you know the people that are asking questions in your press conference? I mean, the same six people ask questions in Predator press conferences. Joe Rexroad, Adam Dingin,
Robbie Stanley,
John Glennon. What's that website that always goes nuts on me all the time? Somebody from there always asks them. I mean, it's
like
the
Preds
same.
Insiders?
No.
Brooks Bratton? He always
no. Asks. They don't go nuts on me. Although, I do. I bet not.
Nah.
I bet not.
Reel it in.
Well, it's just ridiculous.
Reel it. Okay.
It's just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous when the team loses a game and the first question that is asked of the coach in a press conference is asked by somebody who is employed by that team. Like, I'm not sitting here to be Johnny Journalism, and I know now teams employ their own writers and their own media relations people, and I get it. It's not the same as it used to be, and it's not. But, like, do we really need the people that work for the team asking the first questions in press conferences? But this is not. That's a whole nother gripe. And, you know, I certainly think that there are a lot of things that the Predators PR staff could do a lot better than they do, but again, this is about that Nathan MacKinnon thing, so that's neither here nor there. What's next?
So I just had a serious brain fart right there. Whoa, sorry. Falcons wide receiver Russell Gage said that there was one word that Julio Jones told him that stuck with him that kind of made him change his game for the better. I read this article, and to me it was, if you have any sort of concerns about the guy Julio Jones is in the locker room and what he will do for the wide receiver core, then I think this will eliminate your question. So Russell Gage said that one word was, quote, run. He said that was his biggest thing, speed. Speed off the ball, running. A lot of guys get too caught up in thinking and thinking into their routes. Just understand that even if you make a mistake, make it full speed. And Russell Gage explained that he was kind of put in this new role in the New Orleans game in 2019, and he wasn't doing well. And Julio saw that. He saw that in him and pulled him aside and said, look, hey, you're thinking too much about it. You're thinking about your routes. You're thinking about the technicality of things. Just trust yourself and run fast. And even if you're not doing what the play was drawn up to be, just do it, go all out, be full speed. So I think a few things I took away from that was just Julio's philosophy on that. Just run, just do it, just go out there and be as gritty as you possibly can. And I think the way that he took it upon himself to be a leader and pull him aside, noticing that Russell Gage wasn't what he usually is in practice and took it upon himself to pull him aside and kind of fix that and fix his mentals a little bit. So I really love that about Julio Jones, and I think that any concerns that I had in the past are slowly dissipating.
So again, we'll have to see how Julio plays. And,
yeah,
you
of
know,
course,
whatever.
Of course.
But
we're going off of what we know.
I said yesterday, whenever there's a contract dispute, there's two different things. There's the one side of it that is, and I feel personally like you're selfish, Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, selfish. Russell Wilson in Seattle at the beginning of the offseason, now recanting a statement, selfish. And then I think there's looking out for the best interest of you. And I think that when, you know, the only drama Julio's had in his career in the NFL has been the contract stuff. And while I maybe don't agree with the idea of signing a contract and then turning around and saying I want another one, that's Julio looking out for Julio, and I can live with that. So I certainly don't think that there's anything that would say bad guy as far as Julio Jones is concerned. Those are headlines. With Caroline. 615-737-1025. We are live from the Whole Sewing Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, Stillman and Company. We are live at Third and Home today. Again, the Sounds with a big game against the Indianapolis Indians. So everybody get excited. I'm going to the game tonight. Everybody get your tickets tonight. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. My guys, they're proud supporters of the Predators, proud supporters of the Tennessee Vols. I know that Hiller will be rooting hard this weekend in baseball. Summer weather is here, and this is the time of year when your AC system is working overtime. If your unit is nearing the end of its lifespan or starting to have trouble keeping your house cool enough, now is the time to replace it. Hiller is offering special financing on HVAC systems this summer. Get a new system installed and pay zero interest for 60 months. Don't wait until you're uncomfortable. Go ahead and ensure you're ready for peak temperatures. Visit happyhiller.com for all of the details. As always, happy you will be or the service is free. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Again, proud supporters of the Vols and the Preds. Hiller, call the Happy Face Truck today. Dominic Cabney delivered by TriStar, moving live at Third and Home. We have had an eventful show so far on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Do you have a thought or do you want to go to the phone?
To the phones.
To the phones we go. Dylan has been waiting patiently on the Titans and the Colts. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Go ahead, Dylan.
Thanks for taking my call. Just wanted to touch on the whole Colts being picked by everyone, a lot of people, and I just don't see it. I don't get your take on it. I'll maybe give them the mention of they got Buckner, especially on the line. They got Quiddy Pay, see how he does, Darius Leonard. The defense, I mean, you can't be much worse than the Titans' defense was, but as, I mean, I like Jonathan Taylor and Marlon Mack. I would rather have Derrick Henry than both of them. T.Y. Hilton and Pittman, great duo, but I'd take Julio Jones and A.J. And, of course, Carson Wentz. Did expect him to come back and just not be terrible? I really don't get it.
So, and, Dylan, I appreciate your call.
Yeah, all right,
I don't think much of the Colts. Like, I know this is going to sound crazy. Like, I think the Colts are a playoff-caliber team. They've got a good enough roster. I think their general manager has done a good job of managing the assets. He's got to find them a quarterback at some point. I mean, I don't think much. I'm honest. I don't think much of the Colts. Like, the idea, we were talking about this with Corey Curtis, and, like, Jeff Saturday said this on the Midday Show yesterday, where he said, you know, basically that if the Titans had run Corey Davis back out there, then he would have had the Colts ahead of the Titans. Now that the Titans added a Julio, he thinks the Titans and the Colts are on the same footing. Now, Jeff Saturday played for the Colts, And just as we've seen with Tony Dungy and how he talks about the Colts, or how we've seen Teddy Bruschi talk about the Patriots, or the worst and the biggest example of pure unadulterated homerism in the NFL is Michael Irvin talking about the Cowboys, we know Jeff Saturday's a Colt, so we'll let it pass. But I don't think the Colts and the Titans are on the same level. And I think anybody who thinks that the Colts and the Titans are on the same level needs to have their football sense examined. Because Carson Wentz was awful. Awful for the last 2 years in Philadelphia. And he never stays healthy. And he's not reportedly a good leader. And he obviously didn't get along with the coach in Philadelphia. And he obviously got his feelings hurt a little too much. So you're putting all of this on Carson Wentz's plate. Remember this. Carson Wentz was told he was going to be the starting quarterback in Philadelphia this year. They fired their coach in Philadelphia because Carson Wentz didn't like him anymore. He was told he'd be the starter. They hired a guy from the Colts to be the head coach because of Carson, and he still didn't want to be there anymore. Now let's compare this with Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill was told by Miami, we don't want you anymore. We're going to trade you to anybody who takes you, or we're going to release you. So unlike Carson, who was told, we'll do anything, we'll bend over backwards in order to have you be our quarterback, Tannehill was told, we don't want you anymore. Tannehill then takes a $10 million pay cut and accepts a trade to the Titans to be the backup. Never says a word about unhappiness. In fact, when Diana Russini incorrectly reported that there was a quarterback controversy in Nashville and a legitimate competition in camp between Mariota and Tannehill, and the chatter started picking up about whether or not there was actually a quarterback controversy, it was Tannehill who came out and said, I'm the backup. I'm the backup quarterback. There is no talk around here. I'm the backup. And so that's a guy who was willing to do whatever for the team in order to get a second shot. Wentz has been given this second shot in Indianapolis, and the only thing you can bank on is, well, when the Indy coach was his coordinator, who didn't call the plays or run the offense in Philadelphia, when that guy was there, Wentz played well. So Wentz should play well with the Colts. That's a bridge of faith that I'm not willing to build. Like, that's too rich for my blood. So maybe I'm crazy, but I celebrated profusely when the Indianapolis Colts traded for Carson Wentz, and I stand by it. And like I said, I think anybody who thinks that the Titans and the Colts are on the same level, I think they're kidding themselves, because they're not. End of rant.
Wow.
Is anything I said out of line?
No, it's totally fair. And I think the idea that with the addition of Carson Wentz, that the Colts are instantly elevated. No, I think with the addition of Julio Jones, the Titans are instantly elevated. But when you have your starting quarterback in starting on a new year and starting in a new team, and last year Carson Wentz was less than average, I think is fair to say. I don't understand this assumption that, like, oh, Carson Wentz, this, that, whatever. I understand he has had success in the past. I'm just not willing to hop on the Jeff Saturday train and say that they're the best team in the AFC South. They have given me no reason to think that.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
I don't understand the thought about the Colts.
Everybody wants to look back at. I forgot what I was going to say, but it was something, and it was something about Indianapolis. Like everyone wants to look at Chris Ballard. Like, they anointed him the general manager of the century after he took a Colts team that didn't have Andrew Luck, and the next year the Colts drafted well with Darius Leonard and Quentin Nelson, got to the playoffs, and they wanted to anoint this guy like the king general manager of all time. Nobody talks about Rock Ya-Sin, their starting corner, is not that great. Like, nobody talks about that. So, I think he's a good general manager. I think he's fine. But I don't believe in Carson Wentz, and I don't think Carson Wentz. One thing I definitely don't believe in, I definitely don't believe that Carson Wentz deserves the benefit of the doubt.
No, he hasn't earned it.
As far as this upcoming season is concerned.
He hasn't earned it.
Tannehill didn't get the benefit of the doubt. Like, Jameis Winston
continues to not get the benefit of the doubt.
Jameis Winston in New Orleans isn't getting the benefit of the doubt. I will say this. I would rather put my chips behind Jameis Winston in New Orleans than Carson Wentz in Indianapolis.
I was just about to say I would rather have Jameis Winston.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get back to your calls and your texts. 615-737-1025 here on Stillman and Company. And I do wonder about this Titans defense, which we will discuss. But again, Jeff Saturday says, hey, he thinks the Titans are on par with the Colts. Do we really think the Titans are on par with the Colts? 615-737-1025. ESPN 1025, the game, and T-Mobile have partnered up to give you a chance to experience a Nashville SC game this season. Tune in every Monday to Darren, Donick, and Chase for the keyword to text in to win. Good luck from 1025, the game, T-Mobile, and Nashville SC. Stillman & Company live from 3rd and Home tonight on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. The Sounds take on the Indianapolis Indians. It's ESPN 1025, the game. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
How did you guys handle it in Indy? In terms of keeping everybody on the same page, having the right attitude, knowing that individually everybody wants the ball.
Selfless. You know, that's the conversations we had at the beginning of every season. You know, every week is you don't know who's going to be the guy who's going to get the touches. You don't know how defenses are going to play you and what they're going to try to take away. But you have to be selfless when it's not your turn. You still got to run. You know, if you're running a clear out route, you got to run at 100 miles an hour, right? Like, because you ain't getting it, that you can't jog it off, or vice versa. When it is your turn, appreciate what the other guys are doing. And I think that was what made us so effective is you don't know you don't know if defenses are going to try to double Julio or Brown or bring 8 or 9 in the box to stop Henry and make you beat him with the arm. And every week it's something different. And honestly, every half of football can potentially be different, but whatever we have to do to win, that's the most important thing. And that we all know that when one of us wins, we all win. And so if it's a guy who gets 10 targets or 10 touches and makes the most of them, that's what we're going to do. And if next week it's different, that's what we're going to do. But you have to be at that point where everybody understands that this thing is going to get moved around and be okay with it. And again, you and I both know everybody wants the ball. You know, guys don't sit on the bus happy with a 3-catch, 30-yard game. But if that's what it required for us to win, sometimes you take those and move on. But I can tell you, I've been on a lot of those offenses where everybody got plenty of touches, plenty of receptions, plenty of yards, plenty of touchdowns. So if you do it right, everybody can be really happy.
That was Jeff Saturday yesterday on the Midday Show. I mean, Jeff Saturday there sounded like he felt pretty good about the Titans. I mean, we're talking about a Jeff Saturday who's saying that now they're on par with the Colts because they added Julio Jones. Like,
I think there's a little homerism coming from Jeff Saturday there.
Sure.
I don't know.
I mean, it's got to be, right?
On par with the Colts? Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Before the acquisition of Julio, would you have said the Titans were in front of the Colts or the Colts were in front of the Titans in the AFC South?
Titans in front of the Colts.
So with the addition of Julio, does that not just solidify that spot?
It should.
I mean, I don't think that's a little homerism coming from you.
I told you, I don't think Julio moves the needle like everybody else seems to act like Julio moves the needle. No disrespect to Julio. I don't think Julio moves the needle like that.
He moves the needle. Maybe not as much as you think, but he moves the needle.
But the idea that Indianapolis is a better team, I have a hard time with that. Let's go to your phone, 615-737-1025 on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. DeJuan is up next. Thank you for calling Stillman & Company. Go ahead, DeJuan.
Man, you impressed me, man. You gave Jameis Winston some credit. I love it.
That's Jameis Winston credit in comparison to Carson Wentz. I don't, you know, that's, you to that's
it,
that.
It means the world to me. But this is my thing with Carson Wentz. I mean, he's terrible to me, but he ain't going to have that same Philly pressure. Not a lot of pressure in the Colts, and I think – when the Titans play them, are we going to be able to get pressure on Carson Wentz to remind him that he's Carson Wentz? Or is he going to have so much free time that he's able to dink and dunk us like Phillip Rivers? Because if he can just not make mistakes, I mean, they could beat us. I mean, so that's my fear. If we can put pressure on Wentz, then, yeah, easy win 2 times a year.
So I'm going to say this. I think that whether or not the Titans get pressure on the other team's quarterback is the number one story of the entire 2021 season. Before we get into whether or not Julio Jones is, you know, the saving grace of the Tennessee Titans, whether we figure out if this offense can be elite with those three guys at those three skilled positions before we try to sit back and discuss how great Ryan Tannehill can be with all those weapons, or whether or not they can kick field goals, or whether or not Shane Bowen can coach, or whatever you want to discuss, before we talk about any of that, the number one question I have for this team is, can they get pressure on the quarterback? And I don't think it matters if it's Carson Wentz. I don't think it matters if it's Kyler Murray. I don't think it matters if it's Matthew Stafford on Sunday Night Football, if it's Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen in back-to-back weeks. I think that's the number one question, period. Nothing else. Can they get pressure on the quarterback?
And I think that fans have every single right to be excited about Julio Jones and to think about the future of this offense, because that is a huge story with all of the holes that were left in this offseason. But I think that now that we have figured out the answers about what is going to fill those holes, and that is Julio Jones, and then I think now we can focus on who will be rushing the quarterback. If Bud Dupree, and that's an if, but if Bud Dupree isn't able to play, then what's going to happen? Then, you know, now that Julio is settled, okay, like, Julio honeymoon needs to be over. What next? What is going to be the next part the Titans add? Because I don't think that they're done. And I would be surprised to see if they add a tight end before they add a kicker or a pass rush or another asset on defense.
Let's go to our text line. What's in our text line? Caroline Fenton is all over that. What do we have?
One texter texted in and said, what separates the Colts and the Titans is that the Colts have a legit defense.
Do they have a legit defense? I mean, I know that everybody wants to tell me that their defense last year was better than – Derrick Henry almost ran for 200 yards and a half on that defense. And it's weird about this great Colts defense, Matt Eberflus. Every year he never gets any head coaching jobs, but when they seem to play the Titans, they never allow 100-yard rushers. And then it's like Matt Eberflus, in the 3 years he's been defensive coordinator, has allowed one 100-yard rusher except for Derrick Henry, who I think's done it like four times against him. Like, is the Colts defense that good? Like, the Ravens defense is good. The Rams defense is good.
Darn good.
There are elements of everybody's defense that I like. I know the Colts and their secondary, and I know they play that soft zone, that Tampa 2, that just kind of whatever. But I think the Colts defense in the back end is vastly overrated. And let's not forget, Danico Autry has been a big deal of what they've done on the defensive line over the last couple of years. Now, they've drafted Quiddy Pay out of Michigan, and I had somebody who would know, and if I told you all who it was, you would believe me, who said that they thought that Quiddy Pay was overrated, and they drafted Deo Odangbo out of Vanderbilt in the second round, and some people say that Chris Ballard likes Odangbo more than he likes Quiddy Pay, but couldn't draft Odangbo in the first round. So, the Colts defense is fine, but I don't look at the Colts defense like it's a great defense.
JD texted in and said, for the first time in a long time, I find myself more nervous about the people calling the plays instead of the people making the plays. I think there's a good bit of truth
to
that.
I mean, that's certainly part of it.
That is a legit fear.
I mean, that's certainly part of it. I still, Bud Dupree's coming off of an injury, and it's not like he's got the career resume of J.J. Watt. Harold Landry has never yet been an impact player, though we know it's probably in him. Autry and Simmons, I think I feel okay about. But other than Byard, there's not really much of a resume. Byard and Jayon Brown, there's not much of a resume when it comes to what this defense is doing. Like, I'm not really concerned about Janoris Jenkins. And I know that corner was a mess last year for the Titans. I'm not really all that worried about it. But
he's a veteran corner.
He'll be fine.
He'll be great.
He won't be great, but, you said it'd be great. He'll be fine. He'll be fine. How will he be? Fine.
I don't think you're giving enough credit.
He'll be fine.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think he's going to the Pro Bowl.
Probably not.
I think he'll be fine.
Okay.
Just like I think that, you know, again, like I think Anthony Firkser in pass-catching situations will be fine. It's fine. There's a difference between, like, good. Like, Ben Jones is fine. And when Roger Saffold's healthy, he's good. But Nate Davis has the potential to be great. And I think there's a big difference between the two. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. A lot of drama at quarterback in the NFL. And yet, all these quarterbacks seem to kind of be on the same team. What do we make of it? Next, Stillman & Company. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. We're streaming on Game Nashville app. Stillman & Company delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are live from Third and Home. The Sounds are taking on the Indianapolis Indians tonight. Get your tickets. Fireworks to be had. ESPN 94.9, by the way, is the home for Nashville Sounds baseball. And again, tonight, the Sounds host the Indians. Pre-game show with Jeff Him at 6:50. First pitch, 7:05. Sounds baseball on ESPN 94.9 is presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans and 312 Pizza Company as well. So I saw something. I don't know if you noticed this, but Russell Wilson essentially recanted all of those statements that he didn't make, you know, about how Russ wasn't happy with Pete Carroll and all the citing and all the everything that said Russ hated it there and everything. Russell basically said, no, I'm here to win. Russell took it back.
Well, he said he never said it.
Right, but does anybody believe that?
No.
Okay, so Russell Wilson basically recanted. Aaron Rodgers is in crybaby purgatory right now. And who knows with Deshaun Watson? And I keep thinking about this right now, about it being June. And as I said with the Julio thing, you can't celebrate a football championship in the month of June. But I look at all of these situations and I think, man, this is really uncomfortable, awkward, not normal. You know, Seattle will be fine because, again, Russell did the 180. Russell did what Aaron won't do. Like, Russell said, oh, I didn't say it. I don't mean it. I'm here to win. I love my guys. I'm the, okay, all right, Russell. Aaron will not do that.
Nope.
Aaron cannot. I mean, Aaron has done so much complaining that I can't imagine Aaron Rodgers going hat in hand to the Packers and saying, you know, you were right. I was wrong. We're all a team here. Let's play football. Let's not worry about that, which is what almost anybody else who's looking at paying $40 million back would do. And with Deshaun, I can't imagine what he's going to do because he might go to jail. So, and like, I don't know what to make of these three quarterback situations. Let's kick it around the room. What do we think's going to happen with all three? Caroline, you're up first.
I mean, with Russell Wilson, I don't think anything is going to happen with that. I think that he will be the starting quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks. I don't think they're going to miss a beat. I think that they – I don't think anything is going to happen with that. Deshaun, I don't think that he is the starting quarterback of the Houston Texans. I just don't – that's a messy situation, and I'm glad that I'm not the person that has to make the decision of whether he plays or not. That's a Roger Goodell decision. With Aaron Rodgers – I think he will be the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers.
You think Aaron will suck it up?
Is he going to pay the Packers $40 million?
I mean,
I think he would prove a point.
I was trying to wonder.
Spend $40 million to prove a point.
What does $40 million to Aaron Rodgers mean? So, what would it mean to my life? Like, if we were to take my finances and then essentially percentage it out and say, okay, this is what $40 million really means to Aaron Rodgers. Like,
well, let's see.
$100,000? $200,000? But even that's not going to tell you what his actual net worth is. I mean, the guy's been making millions of dollars for 20 years.
Well, according to Clutch Points, on April 17th, 2021, he was worth $120 million. So you're looking at about a third of his net worth is
okay.
$40
million. So see, here's where I don't believe that, though, right? When did Aaron sign his first big contract? 2011, 2012? Mm-hmm. Well, how much of that money has matured at this point? Like, I don't know Aaron's finances, but I know Aaron's not stupid. And so you're
He's
talking
about very financially intelligent.
You're talking about the greatest bull market maybe ever.
Mm-hmm.
Over the last, 5 years. The greatest stock market run. How much money has Aaron Rodgers made? So it's like, yeah, he's made $120 million from playing football, which I'm not sure I believe because he's been, you know, this is, I think it's like his fourth contract. And Aaron's getting a ton of money. So you know, if Aaron has, let's say that's conservative at $120 million. Let's say Aaron's got $200 million.
Mm-hmm. You're still looking at about a quarter.
But still, $40 million, you still, at that point, have $160 million left over.
That's true.
Like, does that $40 million move the needle for Aaron that it wouldn't, you know, like his pride would not overcome?
And
Aaron's pride has cost him a lot in his life, I think.
And I think he's the kind of person that would be willing to spend the money in order to protect his pride. And that's something that you should protect. However, it gets to a certain point when it's like, what do you care about? What do you want to do, man? Like, do you want to play football or do you not? Because right now it seems like he really doesn't want to play football.
Do you think he wants to play football?
No.
Okay, then why would he play football?
I don't think he wants to play football, but I think he would so he doesn't have to pay $40 million. Because that's also kind of a pride hit, to give up $40 million of the money that you've earned.
I think that $120 million number is ridiculous. I think Aaron is probably closer to $250 or $300.
I'm just telling you what I saw.
I mean, what do you think State Farm pays Aaron?
According to Google, $2 to $3 million for his advertisements.
Bull crap. There is no way Aaron Rodgers makes $3 million from State Farm.
I'm just telling you
the guy who is,
what I know.
The guy who is Jake from State Farm probably makes $2 or $3 million.
If not more.
Aaron is making a cool $10 million bucks a year from that. I gotta believe. Like, come on. $2 or $3 million? No. There's no way. Like, think about, like, what these Nike NBA contracts are worth. And I think that Aaron's, I mean, no offense.
Well,
I watched
NBA contract and a State Farm contract is different.
But no, it's not, and here's why. I watched a basketball game a couple weeks ago, the Lakers and the Suns, and Kevin Harlan, who I know doesn't care about basketball shoes, is like, hey, now, stop, take a look at the Bleacher Report kicks for Anthony Davis. They're the Kobe Flight 3s presented by Adidas. So the Kobe Flights, whatever. I don't know. How many people are going to buy shoes because Anthony Davis wears them?
A lot.
How many people watch those State Farm commercials?
A lot.
A lot more.
A lot more.
My dad couldn't give, you know, using him as an example. My dad has no idea what shoes any NBA player wears, but he sees the State Farm commercials.
But there are also a lot of people who are going to buy those shoes who don't have insurance. I'm talking about the kids, like teenagers.
Right, but then don't you want those kids to know what the insurance companies are so that by the time they have to get insurance, they know who the name brands are?
Yeah.
So that would be just as important. There's no way. There's no way.
There's a bigger market for insurance. Yes.
There's no way that Tucker Carlson can make $20 million a year hosting a talk show and Aaron Rodgers is getting $3 million from State Farm when the reach of that Aaron Rodgers three is way more than the people that watch Fox News. How many people watch football? Everybody watches football. How many people? How many Aaron Rodgers State Farm commercials are in an NFL game?
So many.
10? How many are in non-games?
A lot.
I mean, $3 million?
I am just telling you what the reports say.
Like, I think Ryan Seacrest makes like $10 million from hosting American Idol. There's no way Aaron gets $3 million. He's got $3 million. Come on. I'm just going on a little bit of a rant there. What's our text line say? 615-737-1025. Text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caroline, what's in the text line?
Another texter texted in and said, simple question. Did the Colts get better this offseason? And did the Titans get better this offseason? For the Titans side, I say yes.
Did they? I mean, again, the defense we've talked about, how worse can they get? So, you know, Autry and Dupree. I mean, I don't know. The Titans are taking a bunch of risks.
Yeah.
Like the idea of whether or not the Titans got better.
They took a step forward to take two steps back, and then it took a few steps forward. I think it's net positive.
Yeah, they're taking a bunch of risks. The Colts, I mean, I think it's debatable whether or not the Colts got better. They lost a lot of free agents. Their defense, I don't think, was that great last year, and they're taking a risk on Carson Wentz. And so I can't say the Colts got better. I think the Colts are so inflated with this sense, and everybody around the country does it, that Chris Ballard is this just unflappable, unfailable general manager. And that's just something that I don't buy. 615-737-1025. Another thing I don't buy. The college football playoff has expanded. Well, I shouldn't say that.
In talks of expansion.
They're going to expand. The college football playoff is going to expand. I have heard so many people today. Yesterday, we lost our bananas talking about going to 12 teams. Today, I hear all these people saying, hey, it's good for everybody. Is it? Next, Stillman and Company right here, ESPN 102.5 The Game, plus Bill Hancock, the executive director of the college football playoff, had some things to say we'll get to as well. FanDuel Sportsbook. Now, that's good for everybody. The FanDuel Sportsbook app and the NBA playoffs are a perfect team. You'll be in hoops heaven betting all the action on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. There are so many exciting matchups, and FanDuel is taking that excitement to another level because now new and existing users can bet risk-free throughout the playoffs. New users can get up to $1,000 back if your first bet doesn't win. Plus, once you have an account, you can bet one same-game parlay risk-free every week. So that's money line, point spread, first basket score, player points, rebounds, assists, three-pointers, and so many options. And if you don't win, you'll get up to $10 back. Basketball fans, now is the perfect time to give FanDuel a shot. Just sign up with the promo code JGM to bet the NBA playoffs risk-free exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. 21 and older and present in Tennessee. Risk-free first bet for first online real money wager. Only refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Same game parlay refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay insurance available for multiple sports in all states on mobile/web. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.